welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artist First Radio Network. A growing number of people around the world are coming to the conclusion that perhaps celestial beings have been managing our history all along. And the person on the planet, in my humble opinion, who knows more about this than anyone alive, it's our guest of honor every broadcast. It's Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Z-Man.
And what great news do you have for us today, my friend?
Well, you know, the news is, of course, continue. Tension that it's, you know, sort of like building up in terms of, the way things are managed in the terms of the, you know, the economy and the world's economy. Of course, we still have a lot of strange, very dynamic weather conditions and global conditions. But, you know, you look at changes that political climate, yeah, of course, the, you know, it's North Korea, and then all of a sudden that even the death of Kim Jong-il, South Korea gets all worried about it too, you know. We kind of had him, a little bit of a handle on him, but now they don't have a handle on it at all. And this moves toward the old vision that I had about China being involved in the two Koreas, the twin sisters, as they showed me that vision of the twin sisters dressed up in spring clothing, bright spring clothing that were identical, and you know, seated in the what appeared to be Tiananmen Square and discussing things. So this might be coming to that point. I'm not sure, but I know that they have sent me that as one of the things that I should look for. I'm looking forward to seeing something like that happening.
But let's revisit.
Of course, you wouldn't know because it'll be orchestrated by China.
Let's revisit that for just a second. So I'm thinking about that in an entirely different way today than the first time you expressed that vision on the broadcast. Yet maybe there's a reconciliation. It happened in East and West Germany. I never thought we'd see that in my lifetime. Was that the impression you've had all along from that information?
It kind of was, but it was one that wasn't going to be in the hands of, you know, the usual concept of the free world powers. You know, the idea of, democracy and the democratic way of the free world powers sort of having something to do with that, but this seemed to have pointed to the communist authority, which, of course, China, Tiananmen Square, which is a different kind of communist government because it does participate very well in the global economy and has learned a lot of lessons and been aware of corporate powers as they are really a new face in terms of what kind of powers are running the world. Actually, at one time you would think of sovereign countries, but now you're looking at really global corporations that are, you know, gigantic in power.
Interesting how, and folks, by simply going back and listening to the archives, you can listen to all of these visions, this information Michael receives and at the time that they're there. They are there. They've been out there for the world to hear, so it is possible to go back and hear those exact predictions. No, we're not doctoring anything. Do you think, as we approach winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, are we in for, I haven't read the almanac lately, any bad news on that horizon on weather this winter?
Well, I really, you know, haven't received any idea about that. But then again, I don't always receive special information. I was given a little insight in why, because I really couldn't do much about it. And if I were to share it, it wouldn't be very specific, because they tend to be non-specific in terms of how we would perhaps isolate the occurrence. So I haven't seen much in that as in terms of special kinds of devastating or bad weather, although I have in the past. And we're usually we're out between a week to a couple months at the most, not very far off.
Yeah, it does seem a little silly talking to someone who lives in Hawaii and asking him about winter. You don't even have winter.
We got a little bit more rain, and but not much.
Well, getting back to Korea for a moment, of course, that's in the news, and Michael just made the analogy from the previous vision he had. I've always had a negative view about Korea just because, well, if you let a million of your own people starve to death, you're probably capable of doing just about anything. And some people believe that that giant explosion in Korea was them detonating their own atomic bomb on some of their own people. Did you get that impression?
Actually not. No, not really. But they did perhaps have their own problems with triggering their own earthquakes and things like that.
Well, if you recall, there was a massive explosion in North Korea, and some of us were speculating that it could be a crude nuclear bomb to show the world, yep, it works. But again, that's just pure speculation. I don't know that the Bush administration would have allowed that to. It wouldn't have been good PR at the time. But at any rate, there's no debate that Kim Jong-il was at the top of the list of some of the worst dictators on the planet. Okay, so let's look at the downside. What if some of these generals don't want to pay homage to Jong-il's kid is 28 years old? They're going to turn over a nuclear arsenal. Tens of millions of people in uniform in the army, a starving population that's going to be run by a 28-year-old. I just wonder how many generals and people of power in the country will agree to that. And what happens if you start having infighting? Any thoughts on that?
Exactly. That's the very problem that South Korea is looking at, and also China. And they are feeling that there is a need that they reach out to that situation in one way or another. I'm sure that they will come to a fulfilling of what I was shown in a very simple way, as I related it earlier. And these things are all coming to pass as they were shown to me. And the ultimate outcome is a change. The change in the paradigm of our world as it runs today. It's going to change. How it will change ultimately will end up being a putting away of war machines. War machines will be essentially obsolete. So the mass, gigantic army that North Korea has is actually an obsolete device. A tool of negotiation. It's really not important in the sense of the future is a way of doing things in the future. But presently, I think it's something that they have in place, so they've, got to play it out.
We get so little information about North Korea that we have to wonder what the heck's going on up there and what is the actual state of mind of the average North Korean.
Well, the average North Korean looks at, the state as being a supplier of much of what they need. So one of the ways of which they could have their necessities supplied was basically being a part of the military machine one way or another. And that has proven to be a problem, as it was for Russia before. It's a huge problem for them presently and will ultimately fail. And a new way must be handed out, essentially. And one in which is proving to be, in the nature of of China seems to have been progressively adjusted in their in the way they do things. They don't. They do still maintain an army, of course. However, it's not quite as a desired place to be in terms of where the Chinese mentality is. The desired place to be is much like the free world, much like we perceived at one time our American way, but it's changed a lot because of, I guess, since 9/11. And they're actually enjoying a lot of freedoms and happiness that those freedoms bring, but with a bit of reminder there that there's an unstable world and a government that has strength, but one in which you don't want to try or test.
But do you think, you know, what we see, the material that has come out of North Korea, Kim Jong-il is their propaganda people, prop him up to be a near god. And, you know, they seemingly brainwash everybody in their country by, you know, I saw a report, for instance, Kim Jong-il went golfing, and on 18 holes, he had a 21. He had holes in ones on 16 holes and twos on the others or something. I mean, you know, when you see a dictator who, if you take a picture of him and show the bald spot behind him, you were shot. You know, does the population believe this kind of stuff? Does the average Korean, if you pulled him over and said, hey, would he just blurb back to you all the propaganda that's been fed into his head for the last 40 years? Or do they know better? I don't know. That's my question.
Well, there's a lot of people who were became a part of their machine by, you know, being actually pulled up. You see, the family network is still in place. Family networks tied together with the military associations. You know, they make their way and up the military chain, and along with them, the well-being of the family is assured and groomed. But what happens is that there are people who look, because of their state of life, looked at him with adornment, actually, because of the state of life, because getting involved with that, forgetting the fact that there are many who have been neglected. In fact, a vast majority of population neglected. They're producing, we're doing, and trying to anyway, but very poor. Yet, because of the way, you know, the energies, I guess, of the people have been funneled through the military, and like I said, dragging along the family units. Not dragging them along, but pulling them up and out of the mire. He looks like a savior, a kind of a god, perhaps, to some people who have basically a godless attitude.
But as our celestial friends look down upon us and see how we've either evolved or not evolved, it's examples like North Korea that just make you wonder, you know, how... They're back in the Stone Age. They're not really in the Stone Age, just figuratively speaking. And you know, they exist for the benefit of the state and the guy that's running it. You know, doesn't seem like we're making much progress in some quarters, Michael.
No, I just was, you know, taking a look today at Korea at night from space, North Korea, the two Koreas, you know, in Asia in general. And that big dark spot, not lit up at all, is North Korea, exactly as the borders outline it. And it's an amazing sight to see. When you go and just Google, you know, images in North Korea at night, and man, it's a reminder of what happens when you have that type of totalitarian government and ideas of how to inbreed, and inbreeding, of course, ideals and ideas that ends up with not much, basic survival.
Well, let's not forget, this is the third generation. Yeah, we've had Bush 1 and Bush 2, but this is grandfather, father, now son. So they're one ahead of us at the moment. We certainly cannot neglect on this broadcast, which, by the way, is the last live show for the 2011 year. We always take the week off between Christmas and New Year's, folks. And we would be remiss if we did not mention the end of the Iraq War. The last troops left that country, I believe, in the last 24 hours. That war is over. And, Michael, we've always supported the troops. They're always in our hearts, and and in our prayers. I think there's very few people in the country who haven't been touched some way or another, or someone in their community, by this, I'll say it, ridiculous war. What are your comments now after all these casualties? We're admitting to killing 100,000 Iraqis. I wonder if we asked them in advance, hey, do you guys mind if we, like, kill 100,000 of you while we do this? I wonder if their reaction would have been the same. But at any rate, Michael, at the end of this war, what are your thoughts?
Well, the idea, of course, goes back to a vision of which I was received, which has to do with basically the oil dollar and the oil machine, the oil economy, you know, coming to a stop. This is this whole idea of that war was a method or a technique or a exercise of the power of this oil machine and to make war. And of course, as I was saying, this is becoming an obsolete mode of operandi, because look at what it's done for Iraq and the world and our United States. It deteriorated our faith in government and the way we handle things. And whenever war comes out, it's never looks like a good thing, especially this Iraq war, how it was handled and started in just under presumed concepts of instability and insecurity. It became too obvious a play of the arm, military arm of this military industrial complex based on the oil dollar.
Well, if you would have said to me in the mid-90s that by 2012 that we would get sucked into two wars, I don't know how you decide if we won the Iraq War or not. I know that the Bush administration lied and that they were able to dupe very smart people, reasonable, patriotic people, took this bucket of crap that they dished at us and gave us some made-up reason to go over there and do that. And we lost a bunch of good men and a bunch of good men and women, and many that survived are maimed and blinded and had their limbs blown off. Will have to live the rest of their lives for I'm not sure what. The Iranians and the Iraqis fought a war for, I don't know, 10 years, something like that, 15 years, and hundreds of thousands of each their soldiers were killed. Saddam Hussein was one of our buddies, and Dick Cheney and Ronald Rumsfeld, they were both worked directly with him because he was a counterweight to those nutbag Iranians. Well, we just handed Iraq to the Iranians. The government of Iraq is completely sympathetic with the government of Iran. They're all buddies now. The U.S. delivered to Iran what Iran couldn't do for itself during a war. I don't know how that's the result. I mean, the reason for going to war has changed so many times from a certain political point of view that, and if you would have told me 15 years ago that the American people could be led down this road and ultimately, you know, agree to do this and not have what we saw in the 60s where, you know, tore the society apart over the war, everybody was. Boy, we were in a huge minority, those of us that stood up and said this is a bad idea. We were called unpatriotic, told to get out of the country. We hate to say we told you so, but it's not the point. But if you would say This is even on the budget, and we've spent at least $1 trillion. And the medical care for those brave service people that we ran to death with numerous tours to keep them, as we should, as a grateful nation should, we could be looking at another trillion or two over their entire lifetimes. So this fiasco bankrupted us and cost us, I think the last figure I heard, you know, when it's all said and done, and all the medical care for all these people over the next 50 years is taken care of, could be $7 trillion. What were we thinking, Michael? How can the strongest nation, the most moral nation, how could we be led down this road, and here we stand today going, how did this happen? Boy.
Well, when it comes right down to it, and you're handed, you know, a toolbox of tools that, you know, you found out that you only got one left, which is war, and the war, using the war machine, you pull that, you know, tool out and start thinking that you got to use it. Well, ultimately, what we should have learned, and hopefully have learned, is that that is not a viable function anymore because of just how wars propagate and how and who profits from them, and the whole idea of it's being basically a essentially an obsolete tool, a useless tool to use in terms of stabilizing and or basically making peace. Peace coming from, you know, conflict, out of conflict to create some kind of peace. It doesn't work that way anymore. I mean, there's just too much proof that it doesn't. And, you know, when you're talking about all the people got, you know, definite straight-on injuries from war and having to take care of them. There's an entire group of the mysterious illnesses that have come out of the syndrome, what the Gulf War syndrome idea, as well as, you know, Vietnam's era, which had the old Agent Orange mysterious stuff that was going on with people with that, who couldn't find ways to claim for it medically, just to be sick all their life. And many of them having much shorter lives than normal. And right now we have the same case where people are having, you know, entire families break up, change the way of doing things because their husband or their daughter or son or something that spent some time in there and now got this mysterious disease. They don't know what to pin it on, and they can't claim it. And I talked to some people in the military, who have something to do with the medical care of these veterans, you know, VA guys, and it is a real syndrome, and it is hard to justify the cost for, because it's mysterious, it's insidious, it's one that just sort of like hit you from nowhere, and all of a sudden, and you got, you know, I was great health before I went there, and afterwards this happens and that happens, and, you know, it's weird.
So. Well, we could spend the entire program on this topic. I wanted to bring it up because it just happened the last 24 hours. I think it's terrific. Thank God. Praise God that the war is over, and we're getting the hell out of there. We shouldn't have been there in the first place. Let's get these people home. I believe, in my idiot opinion, that you can't force democracy on certain people. Oh, don't call me a racist. I'm saying if your population is illiterate, if your for the most part, if your population is a tribal mentality, if your women aren't even considered human beings and they're just trash and can be disposed of and beaten and whatever, they don't apply, have any rules, they have no rights, and that's half your population. How can you think, what idiots thought that we could just go in and start spreading democracy around like the democracy fairy and everything would be fine? There are people who are not ready to govern themselves. That's what, you know, hey, the first elections in Iraq, if you guys forgot, the first elections, they voted for a bunch of the bad guys and we went, wait a minute, wait, you can't do that. Never mind. We're do-over. Wait, well, I thought you guys it was democracy. Yeah, we know, but, you know, do-over. We're not going to accept that. Okay, but. There obviously are certain populations of people who probably are not ready to govern themselves. Your thoughts, Michael?
My thoughts is that when it comes down to it, it was the initial plan was celestial governance, first of all. That's the real story, is that was robbed from our planet. Yet we function under the ideas that have kind of been created and have deviated from it, because much of it has to do with the inner guidance, essentially a guidance of heart. But what's happened is this governance throughout the world is based on the economic or monetary importance of governance. And if it's you're not involved in this concept of the gigantic concept of industry, perhaps, road industry and commerce as part of in the central importance of governance, then that's not it's not important. It's not the important point. If the other points are forgotten, of course, people will rise up, and that's what's happening right now. People are going to rise up, and that's where that part was neglected. And now we're headed for is a paradigm shift in the way things are done, because we know already that even with profit and the idea of making a lot of money, that's not enough, because if you just end up trying to make even more, and it doesn't do any good sometimes, because you keep it in a small tight loop and it ends up never filtering down to make everything better for everyone else, and it just ends up being pulled into one sick cavity called a rich guy. Anyway.
Yeah, the Republican strategy. All the problems are the rich aren't rich enough. That's the problem. Sorry, I guess this is kind of a year-end show for us in a way. Again, we just wanted to...
I'd like to say something about moving away from this subject, but the topic of the Celestials themselves. One of the things that the Celestials are and have been using for a very long time in terms of being somewhat less obvious is that when they use various craft to come into our atmosphere, they tend to mimic cloud-type appearances. And I believe there are more and more of these types of appearances that are happening, where people look up and they see strange-looking objects up there, or anomalies, weather anomalies, and they try to be explained away as clouds. But one of the important factors that I was told to let the listeners know is that don't discount the cloud. It's the cloud-type anomalies. In other words, like the ones that suddenly move around, but they're clouds. They look like clouds. And, of course, you know, clouds don't go against the wind and things like that, but yet they look like one. This is something that is going to be happening more and more. And these are more and more of the genuine type, I would say, those that I have been dealing with, that I have helped been, you know, functioned with. And have been functioning on this planet or around this planet or in being involved in the development of this planet for a very long time. And they've used this type of movement throughout our sky. So if you see that during the broad daylight, be aware that there'll be more and more of this going on, because the adjustment of our planet is taking place right now. And to turn things, it's much easier to move a way of doing things, or change a position of something, if it is in motion already.
Well, I'm all for more sightings and more revelations from our celestial buddies. Come on down here, land in a football game this weekend. Let's get on with it. I think just for a mental exercise, let's say on this coming Sunday at a big football game, a craft lands at the 50-yard line. What happens then, Michael?
Well, the game definitely would stop, for that's for sure.
But, if it was a Cleveland...
I'm sure that because of the way our games are televised, the audience would be gigantic. And it would be an opportune time if Celestials wanted themselves to be known directly. And it was a time in which that the involvement in our affairs was allowed. Presently, it's still not allowed, this direct involvement. In other words, in order for them to be directly involved in affairs, we would have to be recognized and as part of the community. And we haven't yet been. We're still somewhat in that isolated category, having been somewhat a people sequestered simply because of our planetary development to our own planet. Now, of course, that's moving out, and we're moving, and we are having great plans on how we're going to move out into our solar system, and we're discovering other planetary or solar systems that with planets that are in that, you know, Goldilocks zone, nice Earth-like area. And, you know, people immediately come up with plans on how to go out there and try to figure out maybe how it would be possible. Well, of course, the Celestials did tell me, you know, long before our planet would ever be destroyed naturally, you know, we surely would have hoped that we would have joined them. And this is something that there's a definite timetable that they want to see us progress on. And of course, without direct involvement in our world affairs, in our government, it would be go through many perhaps changes and perhaps starts and stops and you know reversals and starts again from a former time. So we're not, you know, essentially moving ahead real fast. We're actually very, very retarded as a development of a civilization, world civilization, because even right now we're not a united world. But moving toward that in a way that is correct and right in the viewpoint of the Celestials is very important, and one in which does not have them involved in becoming the mighty tyrant or something like that, the invader, which of course they're being painted as right now by as many who have the power to paint them that way as possible, because that's exactly the way they can continue to run this planet if you know we don't look at them as benevolent and friendly.
But just the act alone of them revealing themselves would conflict with the rule of non-interference, right?
Yes, essentially, it would.
Well, so I'm not holding out any hope for any time soon that they will be revealing themselves based on the fact that we're not there yet. And in my humble estimation,
yeah, the general public is not there yet. Yet the driving force that they want, which is the actual energy behind the governance of the universe, is here. Many of us have tuned in, but many have not. They don't want to be a part of that governance, which has a lot to do with a type of listening. For us on planet Earth, we have a divine fractal that's given us. That is really the central element of the governance of the universe, along with a type of spiritual energy that binds us all. And that's an important aspect. And if that part is not attuned to, we're not ready. And but more and more of the planet is tuning in to that. And there's a, you know, large segment of people who are moving into, you know, the understanding of exactly how you open the show. And they want to know more. They want to know about how the ancients and those that created maybe the early religions of the world, who came forth as perhaps to be misunderstood or misrepresented themselves as gods, who they really were. And those who acknowledged first source or God, who were celestial, what part did they play in the early establishment of our development of planet Rancha right now?
So. Hey, speaking of divine fractals, that's a great segue for our next email from Greg Skiv, who writes, Michael, does every person born have the divine fractal within them?
No. Every person born is born a natural being, one which is closely aligned to an animal, essentially having a natural physical body with natural drives. And only after a point in development, when they develop the question, the great question, I am, but who am I, the idea of what is really right and wrong, what is life about, all by themselves, and looking for guidance in terms of right and wrong, in terms of purpose, does the divine fractal come? It is an essentially secondary gift to the humanity that was open. The floodgates of that was open at the advent after the resurrection of Christ, who did not do his resurrection technologically. Although I was shown the technological device, which is a resurrection or regeneration chamber. It functions in both manner. The idea that the universe creator, who created essentially the concept of opening the universe up and then creating initial sentience, which was made out of the primary photons that were there, beings of light, and intelligence, and organizing them, and he essentially became one of the most base, essentially, us, mortal, and then because of that, after that advent, after he had finished and completed that mission, opened us to receiving the divine fractal, the thought adjuster, and he comes in different ways to different people, but there's a great similarity in how it comes, and many times remains dormant in the individual for quite a long time. And people mention a religious experience in their life, and they can relate it to specific words that they said, specific maybe occurrences, many of them being nothing to do with a real church, but actually some event in their life that may have put them in a position of calling out to God. And when they did, the association was made much more clearly, and then they said that's when they saw, you know, the concept of I saw the light concept, and that's when it can happen. And of course, many times it happens much earlier, and sometimes person will go through their entire life never realizing that adjustment, adjuster, or the fractal of God, the image of God within themselves, or was operational, but quiescent at the time, most of the time in their lives, because they didn't know how to work with it. And that's one of the primary missions that I'm assigned to here, is to make people understand that.
As always, folks, if you have questions or comments, or if you're listening to an archive, you can still send us an email to dj@artistfirst.com, like Greg Skiv did there, and we'll read that to you. There's an email here. I'm not sure. I'm just going to read it, and we'll see if you can figure this out. It says, Dear Michael, I really love this show every week. Thank you so much. Please go to December 21st, 2012, the plus sign, Michael/Z-Man, Michael, do you think your own apprentice will show up at your Maui house soon from Chaka.
Oh.
I just read
some
them.
Some people have already nailed down where I live and everything because of, you know, Google Earth and stuff like that. But I don't know, maybe. Who knows? I don't really have any inclination of that, although I've had many people who have taken some things from me and moved on, and have actually moved on into their own realm of responsibility in the overall task. Some built websites, others have gone into personal teaching. And this all comes through adjuster alignment, what I talked about previous, because the real knowledge doesn't come from me, it comes from first source, through fractal intervention inside of the individual, which speaks to the person teaching all things concerning celestial governance, and that governance being full of peace and love. And this concept of idea of peace and love is not a overused concept. It's a very real and living way, and that is something that is being watched for as more and more of the planet adjusts itself. And then they'll come to a point where, okay, now we shall show ourselves, you know. And not in terms of, I believe the first showing will not be in terms of coming down and landing and shaking hands. It will be an awareness, one in which comes up very, very high to a point of undeniability that we are not alone and our planet is not unique. There are many more like us. And because of that, we are going to have a whole change in the way we think and how we govern ourselves. One, especially being with getting back into touch with the divinity within ourselves versus looking for just profit in terms of our pocketbooks, in terms, you know, getting more material things, more wealth, more comfortable perhaps in the physical way. But that was an important factor also in the development. And believe it or not, much of that was also instituted by the divine fractal through individuals like Nikola Tesla, who gave us electricity and which moved our society much, much further into our present way of life, which elevated us quite a bit.
I want to ask a concept question. I don't know how to phrase it exactly, so I'll just say this. You know, we all like to think that we all play a part in some bigger purpose, that that God cares about me, and that some people seem to take it to the extreme and they will pray for a job promotion. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, folks, so don't get angry with me, but or, you know, which football team wins a game, God must have been on our side. Do you really think the Creator who has this, or even let's take it to the next step, if you try to somehow with our puny minds realize the numbers of planets there have to be out there are almost too many to count, and the number of lives that must exist, you know, is off the map, and is everybody in that trillions or quadrillions of lives that are alive today, everybody, you know, do they all want their little task completed or their request done? Do they tap into the Creator, or does the Creator work more like a government? Like, you know, I know President Obama or President whomever is working for the country, but he really doesn't know who I am. But, you know, my local city councilman does. You know, does the Creator's minions like the celestials and the angels that do his bidding, are those the ones who perhaps influence whether you get a job promotion or what color of car you buy? Or are those things rather silly and don't really have anything to do with the Creator, that it's a much different focus for them? Or is it neither? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are these, that those things have a lot to do with why people seek the higher power, because they really feel that it's out of their hands already and they need some extra help. And when it comes down to those things, it's nothing wrong with seeking for this extra help with alignment to God, because That is actually how governance, the divine governance works. The fractal actually will guide an individual towards success, but many times also also realizing and making us realize the shortcomings that are required in order that we might get such answer essentially to prayer, an answer to a request, having guidance already built into us. So it is, it's like looking at the celestial governance as a giant Santa Claus, and having an unlimited supply of goods and services is kind of puny in terms of what it really is about, because when I grown to understand it, every single thing, once the individual aligns himself to that idea of requesting celestial intervention, help from divinity, there kicks in guidance immediately, and one that is generally beyond the normal grasp that they have, so they must grow into it, and sometimes made aware of some things that they have that they never knew they had, some ability, talent, skill, or even alignment, associations that were not solidified or built to create a greater success, because every situation is different for every individual, and some of them may, from one viewpoint, from one individual looking toward another individual situation, might say, "Oh, those guys are living in poverty over there," but when they go over there with an open heart and go to that place where they think these people are living in poverty, find out that they're truly happy, truly rich, and truly enjoying each other, and you say, "You got paradise here. I don't want to go back to, my office and my corner office anymore. I wish I could have what you have." And this is the concept I see people coming over here to where I live on the island of Maui, and then being involved in our many times our simple way of doing things, and realizing, hey, what am I seeking anyway? And these are the things that are associated with this, the discovery, the guidance, and then the realization of adjusted values and adjusted morals and adjusted directions. And again, I just was given this title by the celestial, which is very simple, and it's called the Navigator. And as a navigator would tell his student, perhaps, trust your compass. In a storm, you may have all kinds of lights, you may have all kinds of things, but your compass, if it was adjusted and trustworthy, will remain trustworthy, so you can guide yourself by it. Once you don't trust it, you may find yourself lost. There's a central theme of trusting certain guidance directives that are given us, and one of them is right within ourselves, and that has a very important sign, which is given when we align ourselves to that divine fractal, and that's peace. And the first thing is peace. Secondarily, we may not be approaching the situation in love, but because love is involved, peace flows, and because of that, we have guidance, and then more direct guidance, and one in which higher guidances and more specific ones come up, until you might even hear turn right, turn left concept, open, knock on that door. These things actually will come about as an alignment toward divinity is pursued, and that's the method in which the entire universe is governed in its most simple sense.
Well, Michael, the year 2012 is upon us, man.
Yeah,
I can't believe it. You know, our band's playing, of course, New Year's Eve's big night for bands, and we'll be counting down to the year that's been talked about for centuries. And here we are, living, good Lord willing, we'll all be here to see what happens.
I remember when it was Y2K, being in the middle of its problem, which was basically the system clocks and how the programming had ignored the turning over of the year. And the preparation behind the scenes of those who really knew that their systems were going to fail did the basic things necessary. And I purposefully knew that one of my computers was going to have problems in terms of some of these applications. And it was going to be obsoleted, so you know, it was going to be done away with. So I didn't do anything. And well, it still works as long as I keep the date back before
just keep resetting
your Y2K. But there's a lot of things that this turning of the age, I'm seeing the actual movements taking place that give me trust to know, give me, I guess, peace to know that the turning of the age will inevitably happen toward the good, in one in which changes our modus operandi. We will no longer be warmongers in the same sense, backing up our economic devices with, you know, war machines.
Well, I'm so glad you spun back to that, because I was going to ask you that as a closing question. Do you think what we have now seen at the close of the Iraq war, did we win? I don't think anybody would say we won. Hey, maybe 20 years from now, that'll be the biggest democracy in the Middle East, and Bush will look like a genius. I guess time will tell. But do you think, my question is this, do you think it will be as easy for a next president who decides to deceive a country into a war that will ultimately cost trillions of dollars, do you think we will be as easily led as we were this past time?
I don't think it will be anywhere as easy. There's just too much that people have learned in this brief period, and watching, you know, the obviously, you know, it's obvious it was wrong.
You know, I had a professor in political science in college who was actually a soldier. It was in one of the most decorated and longest fighting platoons. They made a movie about his group of men, and they fought all the way across Europe, and then they fought all the way across the Pacific. And they were known as the group of men that had seen the most action of any American soldiers in history. Those two were pale to comparison by today's standards. Some of the soldiers in this past war have spent more time in a battle, more time in harm's way than those guys did by far. We have no idea what we asked of these soldiers, and we owe them a lot when they come back. And let's not turn our backs on them like we did before when they we tried to ignore that they had were sickness from the perhaps the depleted uranium shells we used and the chemical depots we blew up during the first Iraq war. Remember all those people that came back sick as hell and we turned our backs on them and said, oh, it's all in your head? Let's not do that this time. Like the guys with Agent Orange that had to fight for the longest time just to be recognized that something was wrong. Let's not do that this time. Let's take care of the men that gave the most. I'm sorry, I'm getting on a soapbox here, but as a person who's been screamed at and told to get out of our country because I didn't support this war, I think I have a couple comments that I just wanted to make. Okay, Michael.
Those are good ones.
I'm sorry. I feel, you know, there's people from right in my neighborhood that went over there and came back in a box. For what? All right, folks. Well, we're right up against the top of the hour, but I always will take time to mention the following. Michael does this program because he told his celestial friends he would do it. He does not get paid. We don't pay him anything. I don't think any of you guys out there are paying him. He has nothing to sell. We do not accept advertising on this program. Artist First pays for this, the owners out of their pockets, because we want to. We give you the information and let you guys decide whatever it is you decide about this. Remember, it's the free will thing, and you guys have the free will to listen to what we're talking about or think we're a bunch of crazy nutbags, but that's totally up to you. Michael, we won't talk to you now till 2012.
Yeah, see you in 2012, and aloha.
Well, have a safe and happy holiday out there in paradise. Give your wife and family a big hug from all the listeners at Artists First. And we, again, thank you for another great year of your time and expertise. And still, one of our top all-time shows, folks. Tony was just looking at the numbers right before showtime. This show kicks butt, and it's all because of Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, aloha. You're certainly welcome.
We'll talk to you next year, Michael. The Artie Cornfield Show follows the CBS News. This is the Artists First Radio Network.